Can we move on? Because, David, to another story. You've head out after, it's been revealed, nearly 15,000 people on benefits here are from outside the UK. Let's move to this now. Tell us what you're saying, David.
Well, I'm picking up on figure. I asked a question, how many people who weren't who are non-UK citizens actually were in receipt of benefits. And I was astounded. I got this figure of 15,000, including 2,000 who are actually from outside the EU. And you know, let me just pick up from that. Yesterday, Donald Tusk, he's the EU Council President, he's predicting that a further 2 million migrants, in addition to the 1 million that's expected this year, will be knocking down the doors to get into Europe. Now, that's 3 million people, 3 million migrants, looking for jobs, for houses, schools, medical treatment, etc. And it just can't be done. And indeed, in this letter that Cameron is sending to the EU today, I understand that he now, on the back of that, is admitting that 40% of migrants in the United Kingdom claim benefits here. Now, my argument is always they're meant to be. They may actually upset people because they're factual.
Yeah, but you're calling this a gravy train in the Belfast Telegraph, I see. A benefits gravy train.
Well, that's what it is. We're 15,000. If you're 15,000 people, why did they come here?
Well, you've no idea why they came here.
They come here not to work.
Were they fleeing
their own benefits?
Were they fleeing persecution?
Well, I don't know.
Well, maybe you should stop judging them until you do know.
Well, no, I don't know if all 15,000 of them. I have no problem with asylum seekers. I have no problem whatsoever.
Well, stop saying they're on a benefits gravy train until you know whether they've actually fled for their lives or not.
Who are you to tell me to stop saying or what to say? Who do you think you are?
So you're telling me that if someone has fled for their lives, fled persecution, it's fine for you to suggest that they're on a benefits gravy train?
I'm not telling you that. Don't you be trying to make a headline where there isn't one. If we have 15,000 people on benefits in Northern Ireland, and they're getting £400 a week at least, that's £6 million going to benefits. And my point is that if these people are all economic tourists,
if,
then we cannot afford them.
But you don't know if they're economic tourists.
Well, I know that we don't have 15,000 people living in our country who have been fleeing from other countries. I know they haven't turned up here because they're not registered as asylum seekers. We don't have 15,000 asylum seekers, Stephen. Now, we have, and I hope that I'll be able to welcome them. In fact, I hope that Northern Ireland will welcome the 100 Syrians who are coming here. And I do hope that they will be made welcome and that they'll enjoy their stay until they can go home.
The department,
whenever they're ready to go home, then we'll see them home safely.
I'm reading from this Telegraph article. It says the Department for Social Development said that as of July 2015, there were 145,000 non-UK nationals living in Northern Ireland and registered with a national insurance number. So that means just 10% of all migrants were in receipt of a benefit from the Social Security Agency or Housing Executive. Just 10%.
What do you mean, just 10%?
Well, it means that 90% are not claiming benefits at all.
Yes, but let's concentrate on the 15,000 people who are.
Why don't you concentrate on the 90% that aren't?
Well, I have no qualms with the 90% that aren't. The 90%, which is 130,000 people, are here. They clearly are in employment. They clearly have found jobs. Now, how that is explained to the thousands of young people from Northern Ireland who can't get jobs is beyond me.
The commentator, Brian Peelan, listening to this. What do you think, Brian?
No matter what I say, I'm not going to change David's mind. I mean, David's mind, wherever it's at, is set. So basically, what I'm trying to say is to people who listen to this, I think, first of all, we have to be very, very careful. But when we talk about them, about people living here and why they're here, etc., and we have to know them and know their circumstances, etc., but the majority of people living here, and probably people who live here and people who come from other countries to work here or who are asylum seekers, because of the state of their country. They deserve our support, our encouragement. Now, when we talk about gravy trains and we use that kind of language like that, there are other people, not David McNary who say these things, other people look at this language, and this language has a corrosive effect on our debate, on how we view and how we treat people. And it ends up, not saying David McNary doesn't, but it ends up that then eventually people are intimidated from their homes or they suffer risk, abuse, etc. The thing has a spiraling effect. So the first thing I would want to do is be very, very, very careful about my language. And the second point I want to make is, I grew up in Northern Ireland. So I'm from Northern Ireland. I grew up here. Very, very white society. That's what it was. Until I went to England and then I seen other cultures and met other people, etc. Ideally, it may never happen, no matter where I live. I like to live in a country where my neighbours are Polish, Swedish, from Africa, etc. I like the mix. I actually like it. I think it's healthy. It's good. It's productive.
And do you not like the mix, David?
You know, Stephen, I'm not sure when I'm going to retire from politics and ultimately the people decide that. But perhaps you might make me an offer that when I do, you put me on as a commentator. That's the life of Riley, this commentating business. You can just say whatever you want. You don't have to adhere to anything. Just be, you know, everything's so sweet. Everything just flows. I like this. I like
the question
that.
Is, do you,
I like the other.
The question is, do you like the mix?
What a brilliant way of life.
Do you think it contributes? Do you think it contributes?
What a brilliant way of life without getting into the realities.
Do you think it contributes to the fabric of any society, of any community, if we have a mix of people from all over the world living beside us, living around us, or do you not like it?
No, of course it does. I think I've told you before how the lasting impression, and it still is a lasting impression because it happened so many years ago, when my family hosted two little children from the African Children's Choir, and how much we learnt from Musambi and Dono and their past, how one of them had been found in what he called a trash can when his village was raided by terrorists. That expansion. I've worked in Europe for 25 years. Some of my best friends are Italian and Spanish. You benefit from that. But I'm not talking about those benefits. I'm talking about the benefits that 15,000 people are on. And I'm asking, why are they on them? Are they going to be on them permanently?
But you would agree, wouldn't you, that the 90% of non-UK nationals, in other words, around about 130,000 non-UK nationals who do have a national insurance number, they're contributing to the Northern Ireland economy.
Of course they are, if they have an insurance number,
yes.
They must be working.
Yes. So you would welcome them, and well, you're not screaming from the rooftops about them.
Well, why would I scream from the rooftops? They're making a contribution. If you want me to say, well done, 130,000 people who've come from the EU and are holding down jobs here, are being housed, are on our national health service. Well done to you.
Are they entitled to benefits if they lose their job? Entitled to their benefits if they lose their job through no fault of their own?
Of course they are, yes.
Right, well then, maybe some of the 15,000 that you're going on about are some of them.
You're all in the maybes. I'm doing a series of questions, and that's one of the things that you haven't maybe taken out of the article, where I say in the response to Adrian Rutherford that I'm going to look further into this. There needs to be more questions,
okay.
And I'm going to ask them.
Okay.
And when I get those answers, Stephen, I'll let you know.
Go on, Brian.
Okay. I read Stephen Rutherford's piece. I don't know about
Adrian.
Adrian, apologies. I'm not a slip of the tongue. I will be excused for that. What's called Adrian Rutherford's piece. And the first line, this is before David McNary says anything, the first line says in the piece, third to immigrants in Northern Ireland are drawing state handouts. Now, the word handouts, I absolutely resent that word. Handouts. The connotations of that word to me are wrong. And from that connotation, we then start talking about the gravy train and stuff like that. One of the problems in Northern Ireland is, and it's why people here and people from outside here receive benefits, entitlements under our present agreed structures. The reason why they receive them is because of low pay. That's why they're receiving, to make up,
okay,
so they can survive. Let me just finish that point. Why don't we talk about low pay? Because if you have proper paid jobs, less people would need to claim benefits because you would have proper paid jobs. That's a question that I'm interested in.
Here's Connor and Clonard. Morning, Connor.
Enough,
go on, Connor.
Stephen, I'm just listening to them. They're complaining about the 10%, but surely the 90% make up for the 10%.
Well, he said well done to the 90%.
Well, he said well done. He said an awful lot there that about people who should be here and shouldn't be here, and about being British, and about not being British, and about end of Canada or adding a Canada, what he's talking about. His wee country, wouldn't exist without European money, the money that the farmers get.
An absolute nonsense.
The money that the farmers get, the money that is given here, piece one, piece two, piece three, piece four.
What are you saying is nonsense, David?
Well, that gentleman's saying we couldn't exist, you know, without European money.
You couldn't exist without British money. That's the only thing that makes
Why would we want to exist without British money when we are British?
Yeah, you're British by passport. You're not this wee country.
Don't you dare suggest that. How dare you suggest I'm British by passport.
You're British by passport. You're born on the island of Ireland. You're Irish. to be British, you need to be born in Britain.
I really think you've got to go back to school and one day just wake up in the morning and the teacher will tell you you're British.
This country was Ireland before it was Britain.
Before it was
part of the United Kingdom.
How far back do you want to go?
How far back do I want to go? You're a dinosaur. You're a dinosaur in everything that you've said in this show this morning. You're a dinosaur.
I'm very glad I upset you.
I'm very glad I upset you
if that's your contribution.
You've upset an awful lot of people, and you've shown people for what you are.
Well, I'm very glad I've upset you if that's your contribution, because you really can't accept my Britishness, and that's your problem, mate.
Listen, your Britishness is only a little passport. That's all. You were born in the island of Ireland. You're born Irish. You'll die Irish.
Jan and Ballygowan. Morning, Jan.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I am just listening all that there. And David makes good comments. But I'll tell you something. I see them for myself. I was one day in Ballyhinch for a lady for to get something for her. And I had to sit and wait. And those people... I was going in for something that I have been working about with the public for years and donkey's years, even though I am not so well now. But I went in there and I never could believe the man was standing in front of me. He was foreign, but he knew everything about everything and how to claim everything. And I just says to myself, and here's other people from here, and they don't even know how to go about getting stuff. And he was getting everything that he needed.
Right. And from this one observation of one individual, you're making a sweeping statement about immigrants now, are you?
Stephen, I haven't.
One observation about one person, and now we've got a sweeping statement about immigrants.
No, Stephen, I don't do them things, but I want to tell you something else. I'm working also with a girl at the minute trying to get a house, for she's living in a stupid masonette upstairs, old steel stairs down at the Baraniel. And I can tell you now, Stephen, and she's a wee girl of 6 or 7, and I have been up to see her and see where she is. And the wee girl has ADHD, and she has a wee baby of 10 months, and she has to drag that stupid pram up and down them stairs with that child, and a wee girl turning in front of her with ADHD. And she's been trying to get a house for 4 years, and there's houses about now. And they're keeping them for such and a thing, and they have to keep them for such and another thing, instead of giving the girl a house when she needs it.
What's this got to do with immigrants?
Stephen, listen for this now, and let me finish, please, or I will never come on that programme again. She needs that help, Stephen, and they won't give her a house. And every day when she comes in from the play school, somebody pees in the hall of those stupid old masonettes.
What's this got to do with immigrants?
Stephen, please listen to me now.
But what's it got to do with immigrants, Jan?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Well, I need you to hurry up because there's loads of people coming on.
Stephen, that wee girl falls into that. And that's the thing at her mom. And they're turning around to say they're keeping these things here for people who are coming into this country. They're keeping houses for them. They have to do that. Stephen, the people, charity begins at home. As David McNally said, charity begins at home. So it does. But it's time that people wakened up and smelt the coffee and realised, yes, I'm all for people. I would even take a person in myself. But Stephen, people should get their act together and realise that we have to start at home first.
Okay, Jan, thank you. That's Unionist Party Councillor Mark Cosgrove with us today. Morning to you, Mark.
Yeah, I'm a wee bit depressed, but I do think there needs to be a little bit of balance here in terms of the quality of debate. Clearly, David's entitled to his opinion about EU migrants. That's a fact of being in the EU, and obviously there will be an opportunity for people to have a say in that in the coming future. But I think there's an unbalance to this. What about all of the hundreds of thousands of people from the United Kingdom that live and work in other parts of the EU, particularly Spain? Are we talking about repatriating them, telling people they can't retire to Spain? I think from a workforce perspective, and I'm an employer myself, the EU migrants have greatly enriched the skills base that we have. And as I say, I think that there's a very, very thin line between some of the things that are said and the perceptions out there in communities. I think we need to be very, very careful.
Go on, David.
Well, Mark, nice to talk to you, Mark. I hope you're keeping well.
I'm keeping good, yeah. Leeds won on Saturday, so I'm happy to happy.
Chelsea's not going well at all. Anyway, tell me this. Maybe you, as a senior member of the Ulster Unionist Party, what is the Ulster Unionist role going to be in the EU referendum? Are you following UKIP's lead to take us out of it? Or are you sitting on the fence? Or are you, as you're doing at the moment, supporting the European Parliament?
Our position is very clear. It is renegotiate, and then we will review what has
been... not renegotiating, Mark. The Prime Minister's renegotiating, so you're happy for him to renegotiate,
and then
whatever he gets,
you'll
accept?
David, you asked me a question. Let me respond.
Okay.
The Prime Minister will renegotiate. We as a party will review the outcome of that renegotiation, and then there will be a referendum. My personal view is I judge it a little bit like the 11 plus. I think we need to be very, very careful about leaving something without making sure that we have the correct fiscal autonomy, et cetera, to deal with the outcomes of that. I heard your comments about Enda Kenny. What's it got to do with him? Let me tell you what's it got to do with him. The United Kingdom is the single largest trading partner. What's it got to do with us? The Republic of Ireland is our largest customer. So all of these relations...
Do you think that'll stop? Do you think that the trade will just shut down? Because we're out of Europe and they're in Europe.
I think there are many
across Europe.
I think there are many questions to ask about how trading relationships could be affected if we are not within the single market. We would still have to adhere to every bit of EU legislation, every bit of red tape which winds so many employers up if we want to trade within the European Union. So I think there's many, many questions. We're going to have a balanced debate. I do think it's unfortunate that we continue to talk about, as I say, the minority of EU migrants that come to Northern Ireland who are claiming benefits rather than the overwhelming majority that are so enriching our economy, our society, our diversity. As I say, there are so many hundreds of thousands of UK citizens who have taken the opportunity of free circulation to live in other parts of the EU. And again, when you go to those parts of the EU to do business, you meet many of them. So I just think there's a balance to be had to this debate that I think has been lacking this morning. And I wanted to go on and give an alternative view as to some of the complexities which will play themselves out over the coming year before the referendum.
Well, I appreciate your comments, Mark. And I mean, of course, you would know that, you know, UKIP's a multicultural party. Our membership is reflective of those people who enrich the whole of the nation. And so it should be. But I just wanted to see if you maybe could tie you down a bit. When are you going to engage in the referendum campaign? I mean, UKIP are already out there. We've already had two rallies in Northern Ireland and a third planned against the EU. When are you going to make a decision in terms of joining UKIP and the out campaign Are you waiting until David Cameron fails to bring home the bacon?
You can't make a decision in a balanced basis until you know the full picture that you're making a decision of. There are a raft of pieces of information which I think people will need to make an informed decision. UKIP have a very simple, here's what we put in, here's what we get out. I would have, again, another view that the hundreds of millions of pounds of tax and national insurance and corporation tax that's generated from the jobs and the manufacturing within the single market, I would have very serious concerns about United Kingdom goods being stuck at border crossing points, etc., etc. So I think there are a range of questions before I could take a simplistic view.
Looks like we're hopefully going to have a good debate.
David, can I just break into this to bring us some breaking news this morning, because it's a former colleague of yours, Henry Riley. We can reveal this morning that Henry Riley is to join the TUV, and he will be on the programme at 10:15 this morning to tell us about this. What's your reaction to that, David McNary?
Good luck, Henry. You obviously want to bring down Stormont. You've obviously always wanted to do that, and maybe you find the home that will suit you best.
OK, and we will have Henry Riley on the programme at 10:15 today.
There's no surprise in that, by the way.
You're not surprised?
No, I don't think anybody would be surprised.
Anne's in Carrytuff. Morning, Anne. Morning, Anne.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Anne.
I came on and heard you listening to these people from outside the EU coming in to Belfast and getting £1,500 a month. I'm telling you, I'm a pensioner, worked all my life, and I get £820 a month, plus a very small portion of the building, a Marks and Spencer site school. And I just wonder how they get it. I'd like to know how they get it, because I would go and play with myself.
Well, David McNair, you pushed those figures out there, £400 a week. You said this earlier. Where are you getting that from?
Well, those are the stats that are coming from the figures supplied by the department. There are a ream of figures, and they're going back to that argument that we had, that lots of people had.
Well, not all refugees, I would presume, David, are getting £400 a week.
Well, let me say that there are many people getting £26,400 a year. And you've been on your programme, Stephen, as have others, because there are people who are working. Aren't getting half of that.
Yes, but that would include people born and bred in Northern Ireland.
Of course it does.
But you've said on the programme this morning, refugees are getting £400 a week.
Well, I don't call them refugees.
Immigrants.
The economic tourists here, the figures are, and what I said to you was, that if they were getting £100, that would be so much. If they were getting £400, that would be so much. And that is within the scale of the benefits they can get.
Okay.
Some of them are getting more and some of them are getting less, but there is a scale that you can get from the department.
Thomas in North Belfast. Morning, Thomas.
Can I just say, I'm really running way over time now.
All right, well, if you can go now if you like, or the 10 o'clock news is 3 minutes away. It's up to you.
Thank you very much, but I'm just going to have to go. But
that's fine.
I appreciate and appreciate all the audience participation.
All right.
Take their comments on board.
Nice to talk to you. Morning to you. Go ahead, Thomas.
How are you doing, Stephen? Stephen, I just wish, and loads of people say this all the time, that there could be a conversation either by you or any of the other commentators where this doesn't get turned into a race issue. Every time there's a discussion, and a right discussion about, and a valid discussion about immigrants or migrants or anything like that coming in to the whatever United Kingdom or whatever you want to class as, there is people ask questions about it, but it always gets turned into a race issue. And you had that guy on there who, to me, was being xenophobic towards David McNally, and he's shouting, you're not British, you're Irish, you're not this, you're not that. Now, David McNally has a chosen nationality or citizenship, whatever way you want to look at it. And if a Polish person lived here and they were now a British citizen, and somebody saying to them, you're never going to be British or Polish or Romanian or whatever, you would have stopped that straight away. And you need to have a conversation about this where the race issue does not come into it.
And Francis in Castlederg. Morning, Francis. Let's belt through some of these calls here. Morning, Francis.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
It's just in relation to what David McNary said about foreigners.
Yes.
I would like to ask him, does he not realise...
He said, in his words, Edna Kenny was a foreigner.
He's one of the greatest and long-term foreigners that ever came into the country, because he doesn't realise that he is remnants of colonisation, or does he know that he's remnant of colonisation in this country?
Does it matter to you?
Well, it matters to me that he knows, understands his history, and then it will give him a greater... he would be able to speak more clearly on the subject of foreigners.
And Ronnie Newton Abbey. Morning, Ronnie.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, wish some of these politicians would engage their brain before they open their mouth. Now, why doesn't David Murray go and ask the Assembly or the British government the 500 million supposed that Enda Kenny is going to be putting into Northern Ireland for certain projects? I wonder, is this money that he's going to be paying back to the British Exchequer anyway in the first place? Because it's not too long ago that the Irish Republic borrowed £6.5 billion from the British Exchequer. And I wonder, is this actual British money that's just coming back into the British domain?
Okay, mm-hmm. Ronnie, thank you very much.
Engage his brain first before he starts shouting off calling people foreigners.
Thank you very much indeed, Ronnie. And Newton Abbey today. My goodness, that hour went quickly, didn't it?